I know it's a cold day and rainy. Makes me sleepy. It's my nature. It's my DNA to not work, take naps on a rainy day. And it's a little warmer in here than what it is outside. But we're going to sit right here in Matthew, and we ain't turning nowhere. And I'll try to be as brief as I can, but that way we ain't going to be worried about being distracted by nothing, and we can just sit here and see what the Lord has to say. The title of my message is Necessity and Mercy. But we're going to look at a few things today, and I hope he'll keep us in tune with this message. The Lord will be our teacher. And we're going to learn something about the Sabbath. We're going to learn something about the Lord being the temple. We're going to see something about His mercies. And we're going to see something, too, about going to church. Attitude and spirit we ought to have when we do that. There's a whole lot here. But hopefully we can get through verse 13. But we're going to begin here in Matthew 12, verse 1. I was reading in Hosea 6 this week, and it says in Hosea 6:6, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." And I looked at all the other scriptures where the Lord uses this phrase, that I desire mercy and not sacrifice. There's a lot of them in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Well, how could that be in the Old Testament? I thought you had to do sacrifices back then. This gospel doesn't change. Lord doesn't change. But it says here in Matthew 12, I read this where our master speaks of that. He quotes Hosea, and it's just a beautiful passage. But Matthew 12, verse 1. "At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered, and he began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was anhungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have ye not read the law, how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you, take that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth," if you'd understood this, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless." They wouldn't have condemned Christ. They wouldn't have condemned those disciples that went with him. "For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. He said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is not lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. He saith he to the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him." Now here in verse 1, Matthew chapter 12, we're going to see the necessity of these things, our necessity, our true necessity. And then we'll see the mercy of the one that's our necessity. In Matthew 12, 1, it says, "At that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were in hunger, and they began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat." Our Lord and his disciples, I want you to get the picture of this, was walking through a cornfield. We can get that, can't we? But it ain't corn like we think. It ain't sweet corn. Big green ears. This is wheat. And there are roads through these crop fields, same as it is today. There's just old country roads. And they were on their way to services. It was the Sabbath. They weren't taking a leisure stroll. They were hungry, but they weren't out looking for something to eat. They were walking with purpose. They were on their way to church. That's where they was heading. And the disciples were hungry. They were poor. They weren't wealthy. And they didn't have anything to eat. So they ate some of this wheat as they walked. They grabbed a little kernel here and a little kernel there, a little ear there. And they'd rub it in their hands like this. And it'd get all that chaff and stuff off of there. And then they'd take those little kernels, pop them in their mouth. It's like dry cereal breakfast. Not a fancy breakfast, is it? Not much, but they was hungry. I wondered why they was hungry. Matthew Henry had a good point. He said they were likely woke up early that morning and Christ spoke to them while they were getting ready for church service. He spoke with them. He talked with them. And they gladly missed breakfast to hear him speak. Wouldn't that be worth it? Wouldn't that be worth missing a meal? Would we miss something that seems just so necessary to hear him speak? Or we'd say, oh, that's important. I know God Almighty standing in front of me right now, speaking to me and speaking to my heart. I got some oatmeal over here, and it's warm. It's not dry cereal. I got a football game. How many times in my life I've done that? But as they walk through this field of wheat, they pick these ears off here and there, rub them up in their hands, pop them. They're just having a snack, something to fill their belly. And that was perfectly legal. You know that? That was not theft. That wasn't their field. Lord didn't, I mean, in a sense, he owned the field. It's his earth. But he didn't have a written deed to a patch of land. This wasn't the disciples' patch of land. Moses told us in Deuteronomy 23, it says, when thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thy hand. You can go through and pick some with your hand. But thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. You're not here to harvest. You don't go through and take all you can get, but you can pluck some things. You can take a snack. And this is important. We'll see this in a second. But they were not the only ones walking on that road through those cornfields, through those wheat fields, going to service that morning, were they? Look there in verse 2. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold. And Pharisees right there with them. They was either following them, walking alongside them, or happened to be in front of them. But they saw it. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Well, that just, Moses said that was all right. We can do that. How come they say it was unlawful? This was one of their canons. This is one of their rules. They added to it. We'll see this. This ended up changing not too many years after this took place. But one of their canons was, Pharisaical canons was, he that reaps on the Sabbath day ever so little is guilty of stoning, worthy of death. You can kill somebody. And they clarified further. This is subpart B. It's like reading tax code or something. You got to decipher little things. So in case that was misunderstood on their rules, they added, plucking of ears of corn is a derivative of reaping. They said for you to take just a little bit with your hand, that's the same thing as you taking a sickle down there and you cutting all them ears of corn down. That ain't what Moses said, was it? Moses said you can take with your hand, but don't take a sickle. Can't go down and cut it down. But they're canons. This church bylaw had a part and a subpart, didn't it? They added to it. We are not to take away from the word of the Lord, and we are not to add to it. So often we misquote things, and not intentionally, but many people, they just skip over whole parts of the word. Oh, don't talk about that. Take that out. If new translations, take that word out. Change that word. But we're not to add to the word of the Lord. We're not to take away from it. It says in Revelation 22:19, if any man shall take away from the words of this book, this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written of in this book. If he says it, we stand on it. And if we don't understand it, I still stand on it, and I pray the Lord gives me light to understand it. But we don't take away from His book, and we're not to add to the Scriptures. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 30, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." As I read those two portions of Scripture, you know what I don't want to do? I don't want to revise the Bible. Do you want to read them two Scriptures and say, "Well, why don't you make this just easier to read in our day? Why don't you use some of the language we use in our day?" I don't want to be the man that does it. I'll mess it up. I'll end up adding or I'll end up taking away. But these Pharisees of that day, they added to the words of the Lord. They added to what Moses plainly said. They added to it. But what was the Lord telling us through Moses whenever He gave us that fourth commandment about the Sabbath? What does it say? It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And in it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates." You got somebody visiting with you. You're not to do any work. We're not supposed to work. That's it. That doesn't need just paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs of explanation, does it? You're not supposed to work. Period. Remember, Christ, He's the one that gave the law. He's the lawgiver. He was the one that was put under the law. And He never broke the law. So if I don't understand what He's doing, and they ate corn, they ate some wheat on the Sabbath, it would be a good estimation to say that that's probably right and I've got it wrong. What He did was right. He not only understood His law that He gave, He not only understood His law in the just the purest sense of it, but He also knew the canons of those Jews. He knew the hearts of those Pharisees. He knew the minds of those Pharisees. Those that were persecuting Him. Those that were attacking Him of His law. We are to rest to promote worship, not take away from worship to enforce rest. Doesn't that make sense? The Lord gave us that. Don't work. Don't schedule yourself for 14 hours worth of manual labor on the Lord's day. Go to church. Go home, eat. Take a nap. Rest. Come back and hear about Him again. That's to promote the worship of God. And then what does man do? What's our sin nature born of Adam do? You better stop working. You're only allowed to walk a Sabbath day's walk. 2,000 cubits, that's it. That's all you can do. You can't pick wheat. So that's more stuff. They're just adding to the word of the Lord. Our rest is not in that law. Our rest is in the one that fulfilled the law. Our rest is Christ. He is our rest. But not for these Pharisees, was He? He wasn't their rest. Could you imagine that day of Sabbath for those Pharisees? That's a burden. I've seen, there's a town where we used to live that was predominantly Jewish. And every time I had to drive through, it was always on Saturday. And I was scared to death. I was going to run one of them over. And buddy, in the military, we called that walking with a purpose. They was sweating in the middle of summer. I thought, well, if that ain't working, I don't know what is. That's a workout. But imagine the burden of a Sabbath. Just thousands of rules, and you can't do this, you can't do that, you better be doing this, better not be doing that. What a burden. That's not rest, that's a burden, isn't it? Now our Lord here, as our advocate, as our representative, and I thought of it, that's a lawyer. Our advocate and our representative. As our lawyer, He sets a precedent for necessity. That's what you do in them law cases. You go back to a case that's already been solved. That's what the Supreme Court's for, right? Once they set a precedent, everybody looks to that. Our advocate went straight to him and he said, "Let's set a precedent. Let's go back to what you know. Everybody knows." It says there in verse 3, "But He said unto them, 'Have ye not read what David did?'" King David. when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread. That's the Lord's bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Only the priests could eat that. And David and his men, they was hungry, and they stopped by the house of the Lord. They went in. And what David asked them was, there in 1 Samuel 21, he said, "Y'all have any common bread?" He said, "Give me 5 loaves or give me what you have." And they said, "We don't have no common bread. All we have is the Lord's bread. We have the show bread." And they went through a series of questions with him to make sure that he's qualified. And what that represented was, are you in dabbling in false religion? That's what the priest was basically getting at. And David said, "No. We're the Lord's. My men are the Lord's, and we serve Him." And they said, "All right, here you go. Eat the Lord's bread. You take the show bread." The children of the Lord can eat the Lord's bread. If my children are hungry, and Kimberly had set me aside a lunch, so I made Kevin a salad, put some chicken on it and stuff, and that's for him. And one of them come in, and they've been working all day. They've been to battle, serving the king. And so I'm starving to death. I am famished. And she said, "Oh, one of the children come in, they ate your salad." "Well, that's fine. Make them two. That's yours." That's children of the Lord eats the Lord's bread. But when, now King Uzziah, he went into the priest's office, but he did it out of pride. He didn't do it out of necessity. David and them needed to eat. Uzziah didn't do it out of necessity. He wasn't a child. He didn't go in as a child, looking unto his father as a child. He went in pride, and the Lord struck him with leprosy. David was hungry. We understand the necessity of hunger in our physical bodies, don't we? What, most of us haven't been hungry in a long time, I'd imagine. Real hungry. But we go about 3 or 4 days without eating, you'll do anything to get some food, won't you? That's what Solomon wrote in Proverbs 6. "Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he's hungry." We understand that. If somebody stole food out of my house, I'd be pretty mad. But if they just had ribs showing, cheeks sunk in, and just starving, you pity him, don't you? You wouldn't be mad. Pity him. But what a hard question to ask of these men, our master did. These men that teach the word of the Lord. That was their job. That happens all over our country. People teach the word of the Lord, and they don't know what it means. They have no understanding. They have no discernment. And he asked them, "Have you not read?" This is an arrow fired straight at their pride. "Ain't you read the Bible? Ain't you read about David?" So many people, they know the scriptures. And I mean, they know them. They can quote. These men here could, word after word, know way better than I do. But they don't know Christ. They don't know what them words mean. It's just words that they memorized in order. They don't know Him. They don't see Christ in the Scriptures. But there's some necessity in this Sabbath day, this actual Sabbath day, the ceremony that was given. There was some necessity about that day too. And in case they did read about David, who they knew so much of. These Pharisees knew a lot about David. Now the Lord's going to address the law that they love more than they love David. He says in verse 5, "Or have you not read the law? How that on the Sabbath days the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless." Accusing against the law. Bringing the law up, Christ asked them, "Have you any even read it?" Those that are accusing Him, they said, "You're breaking the law." And He said, "Have you read the law?" That's bold. Them's fighting words. He asked them, "Have you even read it? Do you know that every physical Sabbath day that took place back then in the Old Testament, the priest defiled that day?" It was just complete breaking the law. How was that? Well, they had to kill the beasts. They had to kill the sacrifices. They had to butcher them appropriately. They had to burn them for the burnt offerings. That's all work, isn't it? But it says they are blameless. But this was never charged against the priest because it was necessary for the service of the Lord. They were not breaking the fourth commandment. How was it not work? Well, the children of the Lord, they eat. It's necessary. They're hungry. Those that serve God, it's necessary that they serve Him on this earth. They have to. But if the Lord gave it to us, we don't have sacrifices in our day. But if we come here early and somebody's vacuuming, somebody's taking out trash, somebody's cleaning windows, somebody's arranging the chairs, we get everything set up, ladies are getting the food in the back ready for after services, they're cooking. Uh-oh. Say, why are you working? The Lord said, don't work. Well, that ain't work. There's no compensation, is there? That's what work is. You get compensated for work. There's no compensation. That's a labor of love. That's not working. That's why those priests were blameless. Now here comes the true necessity. There's a necessity to get things done in this physical world. There's a necessity to eat in this physical world. But here's our true necessity. Verse 6. But I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple. If hunger was okay, how much more a hunger for Christ's presence? You're starving to death, and it's okay on the Sabbath to go get you some food. Steal it if you have to. The Lord says that's okay. How much more if we are starving for the bread of life, are we allowed to approach Christ? If the work to have service at the temple was good enough to make those priests not be guilty, the service they were performing, they're blameless, how much more so the disciples laboring with Christ would be free from breaking Christ's law? Those walking with Him. Those going to worship with Him. Those Jews, they had a great reverence for this temple. A great reverence. That's what they accused Stephen of doing when they stoned him. They said he was blaspheming the temple and the law. He blasphemed a building. As great of a place these Pharisees held this temple, which is where the presence of God was symbolically at. Symbolically, the presence of the Lord was in that temple, standing right in front of them. The one they were accusing, the one speaking to them. It wasn't just a symbol of God. He was the fullness of the Godhead in the bodily. Oh, they prized that temple. The temple standing in front of them. They prized the place where symbolically the Lord was. The Lord was standing in front of them. That physical temple is made of stone. What did Peter tell us? That chief cornerstone's a lively stone. The living stone was standing in front of them. That temple was set for a time. It was destroyed 3 times during that time. And they kept building it back. But there's only a time period that building's going to last. If man didn't tear it down, whether would, it would only last. Christ gives us eternal access to God. And that tabernacle, or that temple that they had there in this day, Herod built that one. And it was incomplete. They didn't have cherubims in it. There wasn't none to be had. The ark wasn't there. The Babylonians destroyed that already. They had a shell of a building, but it was incomplete. In Christ, our tabernacle, we are complete in Him. Everything needed, everything required is Him. That's why I said that in this place, standing right in front of Him, is one greater than the temple. This temple they cherish so much. Christ, the temple, sitting right in front of them. He said in verse 7, but if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. Christ says, you didn't truly understand the story of David. You clearly did not understand what the commandments of God actually mean, and you do not know what is meant in Hosea 6. They read it. They could quote it. They knew it. But they had no knowledge of God. They were outside of Christ. They didn't know who He was. They didn't understand the Lord's mercies. His mercies. It said in Hosea 6, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. The Almighty God of heaven and earth, the one that we just horrendously offended. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. The one that we sinned against, he delights in showing mercy. He delights in showing mercy. And he will not accept the works of man's hands. He will not accept the sacrifice of man's hands. He accepts the sacrifice that he provided, Christ the Lamb. He provided himself that lamb, but for our works and our burnt offerings, he has no interest. But his mercy to a people, and us knowing him as he knows us, as he reveals himself to us. Now we remember that this law that was given, this is a schoolmaster. It's like that servant that took him children to school every day. This is to bring us to Christ. It's not given for us to perform, but it's to prove our inability. Keep the Sabbath. How can I? I'm really not sure of what all the legalities are. If the Lord give me some kind of understanding. I would have to work real hard not to work. I'd make a work out of not working. That's all it would be. But God, Christ, who gave the law, is able to fulfill the law. That's the purpose of it. What's a Sabbath? I can't keep it, but Christ can. That's what we need to know. We are not the ruler of the law, and we are not the ones who are able to keep any part of the law, but Christ is. Look here in verse 8. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. What's our true necessity? On this earth, we need food. We need to have an occupation. There's some things that we need. We need shelter. What's our true necessity? Our substitute is our true necessity. That bread from heaven more than our physical bread. Food's necessary. The service of the Lord is necessary. But Christ, our Sabbath, is necessary for our eternal souls. People say, I want eternal rest, but they don't want Christ. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. What a note to end the conversation on, isn't it? That's how they ended that talk in the cornfield. But that day continued. Here they come out of the corn. What you doing? Stop it. We got you. And boy, they get corrected. Thrice over. But they kept walking. Look here in verse 9. Now we're going to see the mercy. That's all the necessity. Now we'll see the mercy. Matthew 12:9. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. Christ went on to service. He didn't let that argument keep him from attending worship. Think about that. Well, you talk about an arrow in my heart. It didn't make him late. It didn't make him stop going. He was standing with those same people that accused him in that cornfield. Let's go to church. Let's go to the house of the Lord. Verse 10. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. Boy, they got him now. If he says yes, he's breaking the Sabbath, the Jewish add-ons that they added to the word of the Lord. And if he says no, he's not merciful. He ain't who he says he is. And they knew something about the Lord. There's enough fuss made. That's why they were there investigating him, keeping tabs on him. They knew he'd healed some folks. They knew he was merciful. They knew he was wise. And they knew that he was found of those not sought of him. Just as the scriptures that they had memorized so well in their head, but they didn't understand. They said, people's going to find this man. He's going to find them. And they didn't even seek after him. What was this man with the withered hand doing? We don't know. Lord came to him, didn't he? He's had a hand drawn up. Some of the old scholars say that this man, I don't know where they get this from, but they said he was a bricklayer. They had a name for him and everything, but that he was a bricklayer. And that meant he had no ability to work physically. His arm was drawn up. He couldn't lay block. He couldn't work physically. More importantly, he had no ability to sacrifice to God spiritually. He couldn't go cut up a lamb and make a burnt offering, could he? That's a picture of the withered hand. An inability to please God in ourselves. The way that we can do it. Inability to keep a Sabbath day. You've got to provide a burnt offering. Well, my arms don't work. How are you going to do that? We can't put our hand to the work. Just further proof. Boy, if the Lord would show somebody that they have withered hands. Well, my hands work fine. Oh, but on the inside. If He'd show us we had withered hands, then we'd beg Him for mercy to heal us. Think of the heart of mercy that these Pharisees had towards this cripple. They didn't even address him. They didn't even talk to him. They used him. A handicapped person to try to entangle the Lord of the Sabbath. Get him. Don't look at him. Don't stand too close to him. But let's use him. They sacrificed this poor man, not showing any mercy on him. There's the one that could show mercy. They knew what he was. Well, at least we'll argue later, but heal this fellow. We know you've healed a lot of folks. At least make his hand okay. Now let's use him. We can set him up. Verse 11 says, "And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold of it and lift it out?" While our master walked this earth, while this took place, there was another canon of the Jews. There's another bylaw. And it said that if a beast fall into a ditch or a pool of water, and you can throw food to it, leave it alone, and then after the Sabbath, then you can go get it. But if you couldn't throw food to it, it was out in water, and that food would sink or it's too far to throw, you could get some bolsters and pillows. You'd get things to get out stuck of the mud. You shove some boards under it. Get some blankets out here. Get out there and then get that thing out of the mud. That was okay. Only after this, only after Christ came to the earth, that was changed. They changed that. And it said, if a beast fall into a ditch or a pool of water, it is forbidden for man to bring it out with his hand. But he has to wait till after the Sabbath. You can throw up food if you want to, but you can't take pillows and bolsters down there. This comment of him saying, which one of you's got a sheep and you wouldn't go get it out on the Sabbath? They said, we've got to change that. That's subsection 8. Drop down some more, add some more lines to it. Add to the word of the Lord more. What man among you that have one sheep? You know, people don't normally keep one or two sheep. They don't keep three sheep. They're a herd animal. Sheep need to be in a herd. They need other sheep. And I saw in this part of the world, I saw little 8-year-old boys, and each one of them 8-year-old boys was in charge of about 100 to 150 sheep. So if I got two boys, I'd have 300 sheep out there on any given day. One would take each herd out and tend to them. Those under-shepherds would. But out of that, if I had 300 sheep, and it was a Sabbath day, this is important to me, and one sheep got stuck in the mud and it died, would that hurt me? Would I be impoverished? No, it wouldn't, would it? That wouldn't be enough to just blow your budget for the year. It wouldn't make a big difference. It wouldn't be a great loss. But knowing their hearts, the Lord asked them, He said, "What man shall there be among you that have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will not lay hold of it and lift it out?" Of course we would go get it. It's lawful for us to go get it. And even in their laws, even under those Jewish add-ons, it was lawful. He says in verse 12, "How much then is a man better than a sheep?" You go out in that mud, in that cold rain, go clawing through there, and then thorns and thistles and everything else, and scratch yourself up going to get one sheep, but you won't let me heal one man? How much more is a man worth than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. You'd be merciful to a soulless animal on the Sabbath, but not to a man. We have a lot of that in our day, don't we? People put animals above people. They were made for us. We're not made for them. But getting a sheep out of a ditch, that would be doing well. Doing good. How much more would it be right for the Lord of the Sabbath to do good, to show mercy to a man? That's how John worded doing righteousness. What was we went through 1 John. What does he mean by doing righteousness? Believing on Christ and loving your brethren. Believe the Lord, love your brethren. Well, that'd be love from the Father to one of his sheep to heal one of them, wouldn't it? For Christ to be merciful to us, it must be in the confines of his love towards his people that were put in Christ. For you and I, we have some doing righteousness. We have some doing good, doing well that we do, don't we? What's the works that we do? What's the works that believers do? Paul told us in Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's our work. That's our service to the Lord. What's the confines we have to do that in? Paul goes on and says, against such there is no law. How much should I be joyful whenever I'm remembering my Savior? No, there ain't no law. Be as joyful as you want to be. Be as happy as you want. They ask our master, said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Is there a law against Christ mending a broken heart on a certain day of the week? Is it unlawful for you and I to be gentle to a brother or sister? Is it unlawful for us to have joy in our Redeemer together? Is it unlawful for us to be long-suffering? It's hard work to try to comfort somebody, isn't it? I struggle. I labor for the words to comfort somebody. That's a labor of love. There ain't no compensation involved, is it? There's no law against it. That's the fruit, the work of the Spirit. That's why I wrote down next to it, we don't know what we don't know. We don't even know what we don't know. And in our nature, we just entangle ourselves in any restriction we could have. That's like Peter asked, Lord, how many times have I forgiven my brother? That's what he was used to. That's what he came out of. That's what his whole flesh was about. Rules and guidance. Guidelines. Lord said 70 times 7. Infinity. Infinity. There's no law against it. It says in verse 13, then saith he to the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Now this withered hand, it was drawn up. He couldn't put his hand forth. It wasn't just a hand that he could move around his whole arm. He was drawn up. The Lord said, stretch forth your hand. He can't. Remember that man with the palsy? The Lord said, rise up, take your bed, and go. He can't. Lazarus, come forth. He's dead. He can't. How can he? Christ our rest. The Lord of the Sabbath. He said, stretch forth your hand. And the man stretched forth his hand. He commanded. Then the Pharisees, verse 14. Then the Pharisees, he healed this man. And the Pharisees went out and held counsel against him, how they might destroy him. He lawfully ate some wheat on the way to church. He got services that morning and healed a crippled man. Had mercy on a sinner. And they said, let's group hug. Let's get a huddle. How can we destroy him? Not get him out of office. Not scooch him on down to another town. Destroy him. Do we have a necessity for Christ our Savior? Or do we want to go against him? Do we have a necessity for his mercies? Or can we do it ourselves? Man will either plot to destroy the Redeemer, or they will stretch forth their hand to him. It'll be one or the other. There ain't no straddling the fence. I pray the Lord will be with each of us, with me, with you, and show us he's all we need. And what he does is right. Amen.